Good morning, church. It is great to be here this morning. But before I go any further, let me just take the time to welcome a dear sister who's visiting from the Uganda church. Her name is Sonia Reese. You stand? Nice to have you, Sonia. I thought I'd do my bit for the environment and not print the notes this morning. So, but it's really great to be here this morning. You know, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, but amen. I always look forward to the opportunity of sharing the Word of God with my brothers and sisters. And so, when Mark asked me to share the lesson this morning, you know, I wasn't going to turn the opportunity down. Because it's always good to be able to share just your conviction and share just, you know, some of the things that you're going through. Because one of the amazing things is that we can all relate to the different challenges that we're going through. And we'll be looking in the book of 2 Peter. I know as a church we have been studying through the book of Peter, and we've just finished 1 Peter. And so we'll be going into 2 Peter. But before we get into the lesson, you know, I'd like for us to take a few moments and just really go to God in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful. We're so thankful that you have mercy on us to allow us, Father, to be here this morning. I pray, God, that your Spirit will be with us, that your Spirit, Father, will move our hearts to respond to your word. I pray, God, that as your word is shared this morning, that it will meet our needs, that at least we can walk away from this time just appreciating you a little bit more and making decisions, Father, to really live our lives in a manner that will glorify you. Father, I pray that you will use me in any way you see fit this morning to accomplish your goal. And Father, I'm so grateful that we can just really praise you like this. Pray, Father, we'll humble our hearts before you and understand that, Father, you are God. We love you. We thank you so much for who you are. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, my prayer this morning is that for all of us to truly be enjoying our Christian walk with God. You know, that is my prayer. That is my hope this morning. That as we sit in the auditorium this morning, as we sit in this room, that we are truly going after enjoying a spiritual journey with God. Because, to be honest, that's really what it is. You can think about everything else that is going on in your life, but the honest truth is, it is your spiritual walk with God that really matters. It's kind of like what Solomon said at the end of all the wonderful things that he did in his life. He says, "What is the duty of man?" And that is to seek God and to obey his commands. And so my prayer is that irrespective of what is going on in your life this morning, whether it was wonderful this morning or it was unduly challenging this morning, my prayer is that your heart your mind, your body, your spirit is set on just really going after God. That is the only thing. That in your heart you're set aside and said, you know what, God, this is your time. This is your time for me to connect with you. Because I know sometimes it's so easy to be distracted by so many things around us. That at the end of it, we become so distracted that we lose sight. And at the end of church, the fellowship, we don't feel any better than when we came in. And that is not God's goal. God's goal is that we come in, we're filled, and we walk away feeling like, you know what, I'm happy I came to church today. And so, that is my prayer. And so, you know, as we look in the book of Peter, and in 2 Peter, you know, I trust that you have been enjoying the series so far, that you have really learned a lot from, you know, 1 Peter. And Peter is an incredible man. I mean, you guys know that already. Because as the church has been going through the book of Peter as well, we have been going through, because I work with the preteens, and so we have been going through the book as well, of 1 Peter and the 2 Peter. And, you know, it's so fun to work with the younger generation. You know, it is really such a joy to be able to teach the Bible in a different way. Because I really can't do a lesson the way that I would normally. So it's really fun. And, you know, so good that from week to week you'll come and ask them what they learned from the week before. And they're able to tell you. They're able to remember, you know, Peter being the rock. He came from the region of, Galilee and all those different places. And, you realize that Peter was an incredible guy. First of all, he started not being faithful, you know, that God could protect him in a very challenging time. And he got to a point where he led the first church service, if you will, on the day of Pentecost. And so, you know, his life is such an inspiration. His book is not just speaking from the point of view that, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. He's speaking from the standpoint that I've experienced this and I'm able to share this with you. And, you know, in this life, there's so many people who talk about how they can help people. You have lots of self-help books, motivational speakers, and, you know, these guys come and they make lots of money to inspire people by, if you listen to a lot of what they say, it's really discipleship, really. You know, they speak and you realize, oh, well, that's... And you can see many places in the Bible where they take those inspiration from and come and present it in a way that says, I am the great inventor of this idea. When we have had the most inspirational book for over 2,000 years. And, you know, to be honest, many of us need to take to heart and go after a lot of the things that we see in the Bible here this morning. But, you know, there are two things that I'd like to focus on this morning. And the first is God's very great and precious promises. And secondly, I'd like for us to make every effort. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we look there. And I'll try my best to keep to the time. The Bible says, in verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. For these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, you read these four verses, and there is so much that we can learn from it. You know, Peter, you know, writing to the saints, and I can just imagine the challenges that they were going through at that time. And the first thing that he reminded them about was the faith that they had. In verse 1, he says, "You have received a faith as precious as ours." I mean, how do you feel about your faith this morning? Do you feel very faithful? Do you feel like you are full of faith? Or do you feel like, you know, to be honest, faith, being faithful is not something that would describe me right now. You know, but Peter, you know, in light of all the challenges that the Christians were going through at that time, he wanted to take the time out at the beginning of his letter to remind them of the faith that they have in Christ. And interestingly enough, he did that at the very first, you know, in the first letter. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and if you look there, you know, I'll pick it up from verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the result, the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead." And it says, "Into inheritance that can never perish, spoil our faith, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of His salvation that is ready and is revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, and now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire." You know, he reminded them that their faith is worth more than gold. You know, again I ask the question, how is your faith? Are you very faithful this morning? Do you believe that God can truly help you with the challenges that you're facing? Now, to be honest, I don't claim to be a prophet. I mean, if I were a prophet, then I would be able to tell you some of the challenges that you're going through. But I'm just a lowly disciple who's sharing the word of God with you this morning. And the person who knows exactly what you're going through is trying to ask you that question this morning. How is your faith? You know, too often as Christians, you know, we pay lip service. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, we can easily walk around and say, you know, we're disciples of Christ. You know, I love God, I love you, and you pray. But when it comes down to the practicals of being a disciple of Christ, sometimes we can come up short. And one of them is in being faithful. You know, oftentimes we can go through challenging situations, and oftentimes we can not remain faithful in those challenges. You know, one of the biggest challenges that we're facing right now is the issue of finances. We just don't have enough money to go around. If you look at all the needs that you have, or all the things that you want to do, there's just not enough money to go around. to get them done. And the honest truth is, sometimes we can allow the pressures of wanting to get all the things that you would like to get done. You know, we can allow those pressures to make us drift from our relationship with God. Now, in truth and in fact, sometimes the things that you would like to get done is not in God's timing. And so the challenge is, you know, do you wait on God's timing or do you do it in your timing? And oftentimes, you know, we become so faithless in the situation that we abandon our faith and do what we want to do. You know, the Bible says here in verse 3, it says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. To be honest, I'm very challenged by that. Now, I'm not sure if you're challenged by it, but I'm challenged by that because the Bible says God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, the question you need to ask yourself is, am I satisfied? Am I satisfied with this fact? Because oftentimes the world can tell us otherwise. The world can say, you don't have enough. The world can tell you that, you know, the reason why you're not achieving your goals is that maybe you're not pretty enough. And so you need to buy this 80 pounds anti-wrinkle cream. It will make you prettier to achieve your goals. True? Yeah? Now you're already struggling with finances, right? And you're thinking, this is the magic potion. That's going to sort the problem out. And after a while, those adverts will convince you. And you'll start from, you know, it's interesting, and after a while, I need it. And then you end up with issues in your marriage because of one anti-wrinkle cream. No, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just making a point here. Amen? But interestingly enough, you can see by that example how challenges can come up in your relationship with God and with each other because we just don't believe. We don't have enough faith to believe. When God says, no, you have everything you need for life and godliness. And so sometimes if you look, and even though you would like to have this in your life right now, you look at your situation, you realize it's not possible. Then if you go back to the Word of God and look at, for example, the example of Paul, when he says, I've learned the secret of being content. Now, when I see that passage of Scripture, you know, it helps me to realize that contentment is not something that is easy. Because Paul wouldn't say, I've learned the secret of contentment. Then it tells me that's something that I'm going to have to search after. I'm going to have to go after it. I'm going to have to seek this thing out to understand what contentment really is. And he says, I've learned that secret. I've learned to be content with a lot, and I've learned to be content with little. Listen, the world don't tell us that. The world says, you know what? Trust me, you're a fool if you want to be content with little. It says, you're missing it, my friend. You need a lot. I remember once, you know, somebody was interviewing a wealthy man. Very, very rich. And he says, how much is enough? and he says $1 more. He says one more dollar is enough. So the idea is, I will never have enough. Now that to me is very sad, because that person will never be happy. Even if he becomes the richest man in the world, ahead of Carlos Slim or whoever it is who is the richest person in the world at the moment, he just won't be happy, because he wants one more dollar. And so you need to ask yourself the question this morning, because oftentimes as Christians we can walk around very unhappy. We can walk around grumpy as Christians. People look at us and they ask themselves the question, I'm not sure I want to be a Christian. The Bible says, 1 Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you save both yourself and... That's right. It's sometimes the only Bible some people will ever read is you. Sometimes that's the only Bible they read. And so if they look at us, and the Bible says in John chapter 10:10, what does the Bible say in John 10:10? I have come that you might have life. And so when they look at Christians and they realize, wow, that is the fullness of life, I'll go to the pub. Then we got some work to do. And so, I think Peter was trying to help the Christians with a mindset or with a heart set. He was trying to help them to understand that, listen to me, you need to embody, you need to get to a place where you truly understand that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you very much. Now, the amazing thing is, the question is, how do you get to that place where you appreciate everything, you appreciate that everything that God has given you? Peter says, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You see, the key to that is our knowledge of Christ. How is your knowledge this morning? How much do you know God? Now, I didn't ask you how much of the Bible you read. I asked you, how much do you know God? You see, knowing God is not just about reading the scripture. Knowing God is when you're going through those moments when you don't want to be godly. You know those moments? Those moments when you feel like, I just want to sin right now. You can remember those moments, especially when you're married and you're going through some tough times with your spouse. And you feel like, I just want to, Lord, you start to sing a song, you know you're at that place. Jesus, keep me near the cross. You feel like, I need to be near the cross right now. Because if I, when you start to stutter, you're at that place where you feel like, I'm ready to sin right now. That is when you are beginning to understand the knowledge of God. Because that is when the Bible becomes real. It is not when we sit. This is to prepare you for the real moment. What we're doing here is preparing you for when you are in those moments, that you can remember what God requires of each and every single one of us. You see, this is not Christianity. True Christianity is when you're on your own, when nobody's watching, when you're in those very difficult moments, when you look at your child and you feel like, to be honest with you, I have no idea how to help this child. You see, I have a daughter, I have a little daughter. I didn't know what raising children really is until when you get your own, you realize. I remember the first time I tried disciplining my daughter, and she was just really being, she was in a zone that day. You know that zone that winds parents up? Yeah, she was in that zone. And she just two. So I'm just thinking, good night. Is she just two? Can you extrapolate 3, 4, 5? Now that's some, And, you be firm. She was spilling the clothes all. I said, put the clothes back. And she said, no. No, in my mind, I was like, what? the pride gets in you, perk up, No. You spread like a. And I'm going to show you who's the boss. Put the clothes back. No. And let's just say it degenerated. I use one finger and I tapped her on the hand, and it got worse. She's like, no. Then after that, she just said, listen to me, I'm going to bed. No, this is 2 years old. I thought it was Susan who said that. I was like, what? And she promptly got up, walked off, and went to bed. And I'm thinking, that's 2 years old. Now, there are times like those, you think, Lord, now what do I do? Because she's just two, I need help. I need some help because what do you do with a 2 year old who tell you I'm going to bed? You see, you have to understand that God is saying, listen to me, you need to know me. Because only through knowing me, you're going to be able to deal with in a spiritual way. Because there are so many ways that we can deal with things. True. But the way that God expects us as Christians to deal with things is in a spiritual way. The only way is through a knowledge of Him who called us. And so I ask you the question, how much do you know God? Are you working on your knowledge of God? Because that's what we need to be doing. When we first got baptized as Christians, you remember when we first got baptized? I'm getting old now, so I can't really remember fully. But I remember close to 20 years ago getting baptized. And it was incredible. You would read the Bible, and literally the word "they" would convict you. You want to get after, everything in the Bible would just be convicting. But as you get older as Christians, sometimes a little bit harder. True? It's a little bit more challenging. But God is saying, you have to go after getting to know me. It just means that you're at a different plane. You're at a different level. But you still need to get to know me. The world is full of mess. Would you agree? Because the Bible says so. Peter says, the reason why is because so that, we can participate in His divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So the Bible is very clear. We're living in a very corrupt world. I'm saying that because the Bible says so. And it says there's a reason why the world is corrupt. And that is so because the desires of us, you know, of people, he says, are evil. And that's just it. And to be honest with you, I mean, we can't leave it up to the government and, you know, ministers to try and put things right. To be honest, they're not necessarily doing the best of jobs at doing that. And God is saying we need to take time out to know Him so we can escape that corruption. And so we have to be very careful that we're not going about trying to deal with the evil desires that are around us our way. Because it's so easy for us to go about doing that. And, you know, one of the things that I realize here is that, you know, British people tend to be very self-reliant. I don't know if that you can relate. You know, they tend to be self-reliant. You know, maybe because, you know, it's part of the British culture to be very proud of who you are and, you know, don't like to. You know, tend to be self-reliant. I realized that very clearly one morning I was in a bus. This elderly gentleman came on and he looks like about 80 something. And gentleman got up and offered him the seat and he's like, no, thank you. I mean, I struggled. Because where I come from, that's just, you know, we wish older people, there's enough respect, you know, to take the seat. And needless to say, I had a very long conversation in my mind, struggling with the fact that he refused to take the seat. But I guess it's reflective of, you know, the culture. And I'm saying that to say, it's easy for us to embody the culture around us and become self-reliant instead of God-reliant. And so we can't become self-reliant. Because if we become self-reliant, then that's one of the easiest ways to be entrapped by the corruption in the world. Or to be entrapped by our evil desires. You see, we have to make sure that we escape that corruption. Because that is the reason why we became Christians in the first place. That is the reason why we said Jesus is Lord. That is the reason why we walk away from that kind of lifestyle many years ago. And so we have to make sure that we're always remaining reliant on God. Now, secondly, I'd like for us to make every effort. Why do we need to make every effort? Let's look in verse 5. The Bible says in order for us to escape, you know, the corruption in the world, it says, for this very reason. And so Peter is trying to outline how you're going to go about doing that. And he says, for this very reason, make every effort. And it says, to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten, he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brother, make all bold, the more eager. I'm sorry. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I like this promise. Not many people can give you such a foolproof promise. A promise whereby if you do this, you will never. Now that to me is very reassuring. That Peter is saying, listen to me, if you go after these qualities, these virtues, and if you possess them in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive, and in the end, you will never fall. You know, but the writer here, he challenged us. Peter challenged us at the beginning. He says, make every effort to add to your faith. You know, the honest truth is, a lot of times, if you're honest, many of us, the only thing that we do is just, we simply try. And if you think about where you're at spiritually, and you're honest with yourself, there are areas in your Christian walk where you can feel like, I'm just not making every effort. But Peter's trying to help us here. He's saying, that shouldn't be the case. We ought to be making every effort. In Luke 13, 23, if you turn there with me quickly, this is what, you know, when we were becoming Christians, I remember when I was studying the Bible to become Christians, I was told that was, you know, somebody shared this very passage of scripture with me. In chapter 13 and 22, it says, Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he make his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, he will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Now, you don't want to be in that situation, do you? You see, you don't want to be in the situation when, you know, where, yes, you get baptized and then after a while, you stop making every effort and the door is closed on you. You don't want to be in that situation. Because you see what the Bible says? Jesus said the owner of the house will say, I don't know you. You know, the guy tried to plead his case. They tried to plead their case outside. He says in verse 26, then you will say, we ate and drank with you. You taught in your streets. It's like, yeah, you remember, I was with you. I was a Christian. And he said, I don't know you. He said, starting a race is not the same as finishing a race. Starting a race is just simply starting a race. It's finishing the race that makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. Now, trust me, I know it's challenging. The Christian walk was never meant to be easy. And so if there's anybody who's telling you, you know, that the Christian walk, you know, is easy, and there are many people who try to tell people that, you know, it's easy and it's wonderful and all you have to do, you know, whenever you need anything, the Lord will give you. You know, I've heard it all. I wouldn't say I've seen it all, but I've heard it almost. The honest truth is, the Bible says we have to make every effort. You see, not only when we became Christian, but even long after we became Christian, You see, we have to make that kind of effort. We have to push ourselves. We have to push ourselves to do what Christians do. And so if it is confessing, then push yourself. Talk about it. If it's reading your Bible, then read. If you are the person who needs some meditation time, then find the time to meditate. If it is prayer, then go after the prayer time. If it is sharing the gospel, then find the opportunities to do so. Whatever it is, make every effort. Making every effort is not running away from the situation, which is the easiest thing to do. You know, when you're going through challenges, it's so easy to run away from the challenges. Or it is so easy to become prideful. You know, you take offense. Though the Bible says, let a righteous man strike me, or let a righteous man rebuke me. It's like oil on my head. The oil there represents blessings. You see, oftentimes, sometimes we take offense. I don't like how you said that. Well, yeah, the honest truth is I could have said it better. But what about the actual thing that I said? Well, right now I can't deal with that because I still have to get over how you said it. And to be honest, we spend so much time hung up on how things are said. You know, to get over that a long time ago. You know, when I was a young Christian, I used to sing, you know, that preacher, he just doesn't preach like that, brother. You know, I like when that brother preach. No, the honest truth is they're both using the word of God. And God is saying, listen, let me tell you, you better listen to the word. But I get, you know, many years ago, I got hung up on, you know, how that person preached, and I like the style of that preaching instead of, okay, what is the substance of what is being preached? And so after a while, I had to forget. Let's forget the preacher. Let's forget the messenger. What is the message saying? What is God trying to say to me? And so after a while, it doesn't really matter who. My focus is on what? Let me hear what you have to say. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we're making every effort, that we're doing what is necessary to fulfill our relationship with God. You see, the Bible says, you know, over the next couple of weeks, I won't get into the nitty-gritty of the different things he went on. He talks about our faith, our goodness, self-control. You know, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking in depth at these different characteristics. But you need to go off and take your own time and ask yourself the question, because, you know, if I'd come in here today and say to you, listen to me, I have a foolproof 7-point plan that will guarantee you 100% that you can take 10 pounds and make it into 100,000 pounds. I'm sure you think, you know what, maybe I should give this a try. Let me take a closer look on the 7 points and see if those plans actually can take a tenner and make it into 100 grand. Would at least would like to take a look at it. And here we see Peter saying, listen to me, I have a 7-point plan. Guarantee that if you take your little faith and make every effort and just simply add to them, you will never fall. You will never be ineffective. You will never be unproductive. Would you go off and take a look at those 7 points? You see, oftentimes we put too little value on a spiritual You know, the honest truth is, the Bible says, you know, what we have in this life, we can't take it with us. And that is why it says, do not store for yourselves treasures on. That's right, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want for you to go off and look at them. He says, how self-controlled am I? Am I persevering enough? Am I really godly? Am I showing brotherly kindness? Do I need to grow in this era? Do I need to grow in my love? You know, look at them. Think them through. Look at your life. Do an audit of your life, if you will. And where you see where you're lacking, go after it. Make every effort. Because the Bible says you will never, ever fall. You know, my time is basically come to an end. So, I'm going to wrap up here. But I really want to encourage you guys this morning. Because, you know, the things that I share with you this morning, you know, I'm just as in need as you are to go after really appreciating God's promises and to really be faithful about God's promises. Because, you know, we can make so many silly mistakes in our lives because we just do not believe in God's promises. When God's promises are there, and we see the example around us. You know, I look at Whitney Houston. I mean, she is such an incredible singer, a talent that is so great. And you look at such a tragic end. And to me, that is just a poignant reminder that you can have so much blessing and you can miss the point so much that it comes to a tragic end. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so I really want to encourage us to remind ourselves of the precious promises that God has given us. And then to really make every effort. Because to God, trying is just not enough. Amen? Amen.